thing. I'm Monroe Brown, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm very glad to be here tonight. The committee has asked that I share a little bit on sponsorship. And I'm always honored to be a part of the program at The Rock. I've had the opportunity to speak and be a part of this thing a few times, and it really is quite an honor for me, and I'm very humbled to be a part of it. I'll tell you what I did. Well, before I get started, I need to pray. And so if you would, please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Sponsorship, what is it really? Who knows? Sponsorship, when I was asked to talk on this thing, naturally I did what I usually do when I'm given a topic. I crack open the big book. There's nothing mentioned in the big book about sponsorship. The word's not used. Very little in the 12 and 12, and I was beginning to panic. So I looked through The Best of the Grapevine, and as Bill sees it, and several other publications, and finally just put all that down. And I just started meditating on sponsorship and what I wanted to share with you tonight. And I still don't know what you're going to get, but I do have some ideas about my viewpoints on sponsorship. And I'm going to tell you how I've been sponsored and about my relationship with my sponsors over the years. To begin with, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and the principles outlined in those steps and in the traditions. And I got one of Hoyt's little cards here. The first one's honesty, faith, hope, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, brotherly love, discipline, perseverance, awareness of God, and service. Well, how does sponsorship fit into this? You know, AA, to me, and after I thought about it for quite some time, is the same, no matter what level you go. And if you will picture with me, fellas, on the outermost layer of AA, you have a fellowship such as the World's Service Organization or the International Conference, where we meet in fellowship with one another, and we join with one another, and we are unified in a mission or a purpose there. And then we move a little closer into the state level, and we meet there, and we know one another, and we share, and we discuss matters with one another. And then it gets a little more intimate. Then we go to conferences like the Atlanta Men's Workshop or the ones scattered all over the country, and we get to know each other as our AA family there. And the circles just keep getting smaller as we get down to our home group. At the very center of all of this is my relationship with my sponsor. It is the most, in my opinion, the most intimate relationship in AA. It's 101. It's caring. It's taught me how to allow another human being to really know what's going on with me. And it's allowed me to open up to another human being. Why do we need a sponsor? As Randy Parsons once told me, I lie to me bad. I really, really do. You know, I really and truly need the opportunity to be intimate with another man. And I was sharing with Jay earlier tonight, before I got to the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't think that I ever, including my wife and my children, ever allowed any human being inside of me to really know what I was thinking. My relationship with my first sponsor was quite a special one. A man named Scott Mullen. Now, Scott filled a very special purpose in my life. Right after I first got sober, this man had an old van, and it was about a 73 Ford, and it was just covered up with all these bumper stickers, you know, all the AA stuff. And this guy came rolling up in my yard every day, come meeting time. We'd load up in that van, and we'd have a meeting going to the meeting. Then we'd have a meeting. Then we'd have a meeting coming back. Mr. Mullen was exactly what I needed at that time in my life. He helped me buy my home, my car. And I realize today that the first essential ingredient in a relationship with a sponsor is that of, I had to see something in that man that I wanted. And I had to believe that what he was going to give to me was real and good and in my best interest. And I had to trust him entirely. Because I honestly didn't know what was best for me when I first got to this program. And Scott did that for me. He filled that need in my life. He didn't put me down. He always smiled. And he always gave me what I needed. As we went through the steps and I began to learn what this program is about, I realized that without good sponsorship, how could I take these steps and apply them to my life? You know, and as I was sharing with Jay, one of my hobbies is flying. There's a condition if you fly an airplane that you know about. It's called vertigo. Vertigo is caused when you lose, when you're flying along, you're buzzing along, and you fly into weather conditions that limit your visual. You get in the clouds and you absolutely lose your frame of reference. You have no idea of, you lose your orientation. You have no idea of what's up and what's down, or right or left. And I've done it many times. I've gotten in weather that I shouldn't have been in and find myself in a steep right turn or in a turn when I would swear that I was straight and level. Fortunately, I wasn't in there very long. You'd be amazed at how quick it can happen to you. I mean, just in a matter of minutes, if you're not careful, you can get in a situation. This could be fatal. It was fatal in the case of Mr. Kennedy just a few months ago. He was a young, inexperienced pilot flying in weather conditions he should not have been in. The point is right in front of his eyes, he had instruments that would tell him the truth. The truth was in front of him. When he drove that airplane in the ground, his instruments were telling him he was driving it in the ground, but he did not believe them. Right? When I got here, you know, my best thinking did get me here. And I plotted and I schemed and I fought and I scraped and I chose my route carefully, and my best thinking damn near killed me. So when Mr. Mullen came to me and he says, I want you to come down here and help me fix the roof on my house. I want you to help me go pick up this wet drunk down here. And we would. And we would drive all over the country. We'd pick up these drunks and we'd put them in the van. And we'd give them, we'd feed them cantaloupes and Coca-Colas. And it was the neatest thing. I don't know if any of those guys ever stayed sober or not, but I did. And he did. Another point I wanted to bring out was, I've had three sponsors in my 10 years of sobriety. Mr. Baldwin is still one of my sponsors, although his purpose and his special strength is with the newcomer. He loves newcomers. He loves wet drunks. He embraces them and loves them, and he gives them what they need. Today I have two more. One I email every day. The other I talk to on the phone practically every day. The point is I need that level of intimacy. I need to know that man on the other line, other end of that line, is going to hear what I have to say and know what to tell me to help me deal with whatever's going on in my life. It is amazing after this length of time. I'll be honest with you. I've had some really unique challenges head my way this year. This past year, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C. Out of the clear blue sky, never been sick a day in my life. Gave blood at my place of employment, and they called me back a few weeks later and told me I had this, and I went into denial and basically didn't do anything about it for a year. And then one got up one day, and it's amazing how God works in our lives. I got up one day and I said, I'm ready to deal with this. I don't know where that came from, but I knew it was time that I did something about it. So I called my sponsor and I talked with him, and he was, obviously I didn't tell him about it. And he says, yeah. So we got on with the treatment anyway. To make a long story short, I have really just felt like the devil. The medicine that you treat this stuff with has very nasty side effects. Basically, you just feel like crap all the time. You get up as tired as you are when you go to bed. But anyway, if you don't think that'll mess with your sobriety, see, I instantly start looking for ways to feel better. And this doctor's wanting to prescribe all these different medications to help you with these side effects, you see. And so far I fought those off. But I'm discussing some things with my sponsor now, because I'm getting, sometimes I'm so ill that I turn into this person that I really don't want to be. I snap at my wife and my children and just hateful and damn mean. Just mean. And I don't want to be. I can relate to PMS. I guarantee you. And my wife, you know, I said, now I know how you feel, you know. Because, I mean, sometimes it just feels good to be me. But I don't know. Who knows about this thing called sponsorship? Tell you what it's not. It's not someone just a comrade to call and to pretend that you're doing something with. You must have absolute faith in that person you call your sponsor. You must see in this man something that you want. He's got to have what you want. And if you can find that special person, every one of us here, God made a special person, a sponsor for each one of us. All we have to do is find that person and allow them into our lives. There is no greater part of the AA program than that relationship, I believe. I've said about all I can think to say. I know it hadn't been much, but I hope this helps some. A few minutes, Jay's going to come up and share with you. Thank you.
My name is Jay Blassingame, and I'm an alcoholic. I didn't used to use my last name, but everybody knew I was drunk, so they may as well know I'm getting sober. I'm going to say exactly the same thing that Monroe just said, but probably a little different. Like Monroe, I picked up the book and didn't find the word sponsor in the big book anywhere. So I went to 12 and 12, and like he said, it's mentioned a few times, and I went to As Bill Sees It, and there's a whole bunch of references, and kept cross-referencing back and forth to 12-stepping and service, and pretty soon the topic got real big and didn't have anything to do with sponsorship and everything to do with sponsorship. I have had three sponsors since I have been here. Two of them have been the kindest, loving men I have ever known. One of them has been a complete moron. The first one was a young man named Alex P. From the Triangle Club. Got sober when he was 12 years old. He was 20 when I met him. He had 8 years sobriety. And had to teach a 37-year-old man how to live clean. He'd never been married, didn't have any kids. I'd had two careers by then. And I found it hard to listen to him. But he had something I wanted, and he knew how to stay sober. And that was enough. Now, I did that 1-2-3 shuffle and got on 4 and pretty much didn't do anything. And he suggested that might be something that I might want to look at. And so I fired him. And then I got the second sponsor, who was the total moron. That would be myself. And I managed to sponsor myself for about 6 months. And Alex finally came to me and said, you know, you either need to go drink or you need to finish this 4-step. You don't have to do it with me, but you got to do it with somebody. And that was when I had about 18 months clean, not sober. I have been sober not as nearly as long as I have been clean. But so that was the first time that somebody told me about the Atlanta Men's Workshop. And I came here with my 4-step in hand looking for someone, and I found him. It was Frank G., and he was in a cabin meeting over here in 47 or 48. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and He was busy. He was talking with some folks, and I walked up and I said, I need you right now. And he didn't ask me what for. He stopped what he was doing and went with me. And I sat out here in a car in the rain and did my first fist step. That's when I became part of and learned that there was more to working the steps and that the answers lied in the steps, and I could not do the steps by myself. When I was learning how to drink, I found the best teachers. And now that I am in recovery, I have also found the best teacher. I was in a meeting shortly after that, and there was a gentleman sharing. He had probably 7 or 8 years in the program, sober man, and was struggling with something. And I thought it was amazing that he had a long time clean and still came to meetings and still brought things to meetings. And, you know, everything just wasn't hunky-dory with him all the time. But he knew where to take it and knew what to do about it. And that is what I wanted. And that man is Johnny H. He's here tonight. And he's a very special person in my life, and he's been sponsoring me ever since. The topic is sponsorship. What is it really? And I came up with a bunch of different things. First, I had to talk about being a sponsee. That was the first important thing for me, was learning how to be a sponsee. I have to have one person in my life that knows more about me than anybody. Like Monroe was saying, we have different levels that we can share at. And I know in a mixed open meeting with ladies in attendance, I can share on one level, and in a men's meeting, I can share at another level. My sponsorship tree has a meeting where we get a little deeper. But there is nobody who knows absolutely everything about me but my sponsor. And I've got to have one man who knows absolutely everything, warts and all the dirt. Somebody who I can keep no secrets from. Somebody who knows me well enough, like Monroe said, I lie to me. And somebody who knows when I'm doing that, even when I don't. I have found that when I am actively working a step with my sponsor, my life is okay. And when I'm not, it's not. And it's that simple. When I'm calling them on a regular basis, just touching base, doesn't have to be about recovery. It's not all about recovery. It's about, I was asking a number of men on the way up here, you know, what is sponsorship to you? And Jim gave me one, and it was, it is our first attempt at a sober, stable relationship. And that is something I never had. And it's something I get to practice every day, not only with my sponsor, but with my sponsees. Talking about becoming a sponsor, I'll never forget the first time somebody actually asked me for my phone number. I was scared to death, and I'm sure I gave him a different number or gave him Dave's number or something. I don't know, but I could not understand that someone would actually want something from me. And then it started happening more often, and I got overwhelmed. What if all these guys actually call me? And I found out that after the hundreds of times you give out your phone number, maybe 5 or 6 will call you. And that seems to be my magic number, 5 or 6. That's about how many guys I sponsor and just kind of always have. That's one comes in, one goes out, one moves away, one moves in. But that seems to be the right amount for me for now. That may change, I don't know. In taking on a sponsee, the big book, there are no gray areas in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is very clear. It says in the very beginning that there are two requirements in order to be a sponsee. If you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. The sponsor's job is to guide you through the steps. If you're not willing and you don't want what we have, then come back and see me when you are. There's a whole chapter, even though it doesn't specifically say the word sponsor, called Working with Others. When I have a question, that's where my sponsor directs me. I'm not sure my sponsor really knows anything about the program, because he always seems to be asking me questions. What step do you think would apply to this? Or what page do you think it's on? Or have you prayed about it? I worry for him sometimes, but he's still sober today. So I did sit down with him. He and I have been through the steps together a couple of times. And you know, I had made my 8th step list, and I was going to sit down. We were going to talk about my amends, and it was just kind of a for your information kind of thing that we were going through, and I'd prepare my list, and I was going to explain to him how I began to tell him how I was going to make my amends and in what order, and he was very kind to me that day. You see, I have a blind spot when it comes to me. One of my sponsees can call me up and say, "Jay, I'm having trouble with honesty," and I can say, "Don't lie," and hang up, and we can move on. But when it comes to myself, I have a blind spot, and I don't know what is best for me, but my sponsor does. And he points it out in a kind, loving way that I can only hope to become like one day. A number of other things that people mentioned to me were listening. I asked John S. what he thought, and he said listening was one of the most important things of being a sponsor. And then my grand sponsor said, being available. And that's an important thing. I have to find somebody. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I have a sponsor who has a working knowledge of the 12 steps. I have a sponsor who is working the steps with his sponsor. And he's working the steps with me. And that is very important. We were kind of looking around. I have, there are 5 generations of my sponsorship family here at Rock Eagle this time. I don't know if that means much to you, but it means a whole lot to me. Because I know who my family is. And they are closer than my blood family. They know more about me, and they are the ones who saved my life. Sponsoring men in this program is probably the greatest gift I have ever gotten. When working with another man and watching the light come on, when you see him and you just know he gets it, there is no greater joy. Just seeing it, I worked a fifth step with one of my guys, and the light came on for him. And I have no doubt that I saw the hand of God reach down and touch this man. And I can't see him do it in me, but I can see him do it in the men around me. And I always worry that I'm not growing, and I haven't come very far, but I look at the men who work with me and look at the men that I work with, and I see that they are growing and moving along the path, which is much wider than I thought it was. It's not nearly as narrow and nearly as hard. The steps are the easier, softer way. And without a sponsor, I can't make it alone. It's like finding my way out of the snow, and I just got to follow those footprints in front of me. My sponsor is big on service work, so therefore I am very big on service work. Now, he has never suggested to me that I might want to do service work, but it is what he did, and I want what he has so badly that I am afraid not to do every single thing that he did to get it. It's that important. So he doesn't always just make suggestions. He shows me by what his life is like and what he did, what he is doing. I see my sponsor at meetings. I see my sponsor at workshops. I see him all the time in the places where things for the fellowship are getting done. And that makes a big deal. It's a big part of his life. He's a big part of my life. And it makes the program part of my life, lest I forget where I come from. Sponsees are always fun. The favorite 3 words that I love to hear, "I've been thinking." And that's always a good start. And we can usually cut them off right after that. But sometimes we let them ramble. But of all the things I have become because of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the greatest gift I have gotten is being called a sponsor. And that was something that you guys gave to me. And I guess we'll just open it up for some discussion. Monroe, why don't you come back up here? Thank you.
Right down. My goodness, thank you. Well, the meeting is now for discussion. No. The tape's off. We can relax.